Nearly home. Isn't home where we all want to be? Reba here for Realtor.com, the pro's number one most trusted app. Finding a home is like dating. You're not just looking for a place to live. You're searching for the one. That's where Realtor.com comes in. Like any good matchmaker, they know exactly where to look. With over 500,000 new real listings straight from the pros every month, you could find your perfect match today. Ranch style with a pool, barn dominium with an in-law suite, Realtor.com's got them. Modern craftsman with a big yard and a treehouse out back, Realtor.com will have you saying, yep, that's the one. No more swiping. It's time to start finding. Download the Realtor.com app today, cause you're nearly home. Make it real with Realtor.com.
Pros number one most trusted app based on August 2025 proprietary survey. Over 500,000 new listings every month based on average new for sale and rental listings, July 2024 to June 2025.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Goodness, the one of one is missing.
I knew something was up.
Pop, that's almost twice as much going for the same price.
I just freaking love that Raider rookie logo.
Doing more buying.
Which one of these five quarterbacks has the worst set of pass catchers to throw the football to?
Guess how much I sniped this for an auction.
Number to five, you dirty animal.
I'm telling you, these optic on-card autos are money.
Alrighty, I normally start with some kind of grand proclamation, but I have to tip my hat to you, Andy, because you have just been slamming the table for Baker Mayfield for years now, and it is time to admit that at this time, outside of Patrick Mahomes, nobody has played the quarterback position better than Baker Mayfield over the first few weeks of the season.
Woo! Let's go, baby. 2018 draft class, Baker Mayfield looking like a stud right now. I mean, yeah, in the Bucks, 5-1, sitting in a good spot. Tough matchup this week at the Lions. But almost all his cards have doubled or more in value, Carter. He's seen tremendous growth in his value. And I don't think that they're really going to go backwards too much. You're looking at a new level for Baker Mayfield's values. I mean, look at what Josh Allen and more specifically Lamar Jackson's cards have done over the past month. I mean, Lamar Jackson's cards, sure, they've dipped a bit, but they've retained a lot of value because of the resume he's put forth over the past couple of years. Well, Baker's on that trajectory in terms of the resume he's putting forth. The year before last year, and now this year, he's hitting all-time career highs, man.
Yeah, I really don't know how to explain it. I would say at this point that what he's done in the first couple of weeks is to the level of the play that Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen have played at, and he's been way better than them, if we're being honest. So it's interesting. Obviously Lamar's hurt and Josh has still been very good, but Baker is just that guy. I mean, I am going to say he's special. He is a special quarterback in the NFL who could legitimately go win a Super Bowl. And it's why this guy in the background is special as well, because he just made quick work of him, in the playoffs last year. So look, Baker's that guy. And I'm starting to think maybe I should buy back in. And I've shared this before. The quarterback that's made me the most money is Baker Mayfield. I bought a lot of that his stuff at bare minimum prices. And as you know, Andy, I traded a good bit of my Jerry Rice collection It felt so dirty at the time. And, you know, I moved it before this real Buccaneers Baker era started. So it's to the point where he's legitimately an MVP candidate. And if the Bucs get fully healthy with some of their receivers, we could get a Super Bowl spike with the Cards.
Oh, absolutely. We could get a playoff spike. You know, you get a spike from MVP too. And right now, I mean, he's the front runner. If he's not the front runner, he's top three in MVP odds, I think, last time I looked. So it's really interesting. I think he's got room to go up. You compare his card prices to Lamar Jackson. You bring in Sam Darnold, too. Bring in Sam Darnold into that conversation because he's at the bottom end, but he's starting. He's playing well for the Seahawks, and his card prices have gone up a little bit, too, as well, since the beginning of the season. But you compare him to Lamar. You compare him to Josh Allen, you could see how Baker Mayfield's cards could go up and still not equate to the value of Lamar or Josh. And they could go up. They could still go up another 40, 50% on certain cards and still not be at the level of Lamar Jackson. So I think there's still room to buy on Baker. And you know, there's nice scarcity in 2018. And after that supply is gone from 2018, it's going to be hard to recreate it. It's not like Drake May's market where you have over 1,000 buy it now solds in one day and you still see a ton of low-hanging fruit, you know, entry-level stuff like based honors that you could get for 10, 15 bucks. And you're not going to find that with 2018. That stuff's going to disappear, and then it's going to go up a lot higher in value. And you can see here like a BGS 9 based honors selling for 37 bucks. You know, that's getting that card specifically in that grade right there, that transaction from today is getting close to what Lamar Jackson is doing.
Yeah. So quick announcement before we go any further. Tuesday, we normally go live on Wednesdays. We're live on Thursday because Andy had real world work to do. You traveled and you gave a presentation. Congratulations on that. And on Tuesday, I've developed a friendship with Mojo Sports Cards, the Aaron Rodgers autograph collector himself, man, all the way in the West Coast. He will join us Tuesday for a special episode. I love Mojo Sports Cards. I think he's my favorite hobby influencer outside of a guy by the name of Andy Kaysen. So He'll join us Tuesday, and he's going to share quite a bit of knowledge in the sports card industry. Now, I want to talk about the thumbnail image. You have a few wide receivers mixed up in there. You have Jalen Waddle and Chris.
Yeah, man. So the latest news that I've been catching up on is that the Giants, the resurgence of the Giants here with Jackson Dart and the famous, notorious Cam Scatabo, are big game wide receiver hunting. With the injury of Malik Nabers, they desperately need depth in their wide receiver room. And this team has been renewed, and they're going hunting, man. So the rumors are they're looking for Chris Olave, Jalen Waddle, or potentially Jacoby Myers on the Raiders, as he is shown to be disgruntled. Obviously, who wants to play for the Raiders right now? Is not, you know, it's not a whole lot to look forward to there. And you have a lot of, like, Trey Tucker has taken a lot of targets in that offense, and Geno Smith is just spraying the ball everywhere. So I could see them picking up a guy like Jacoby Myers too.
Jacoby Myers, I will say the Ricky Scoops account did say Jacoby Myers is on the move, so I could see him in New York. I don't think Jacoby would be a good fit though if he were to go there, because it's kind of redundant, his skill set, with a guy like Wandale Robinson. They need to go out and get themselves an X. And I think Olave and Waddle would be better served in that spot. So what Andy's basically saying is, with the trade coming up, you will see a spike. I am a little shocked that Olave stuff is still relatively high. I mean, they're not, it's not unbelievably expensive. It's not Puka Nacua level stuff, but It's still somewhat high, but somewhat reasonable for a spike if he were to get moved.
Yeah, sure. And he's a lot lower than Garrett Wilson. He's lower than Garrett Wilson. He's lower than Drake London still. He's got value on his cards. And so if he gets moved to the Giants, his card values are going to spike. He's immediately going to be the alpha. And maybe instead of getting all these hospital balls from Spencer Rattler over there, he's going to get some quality target. I saw that he did come down. I think he got his first touchdown this past week. And that was a strong game by the Saints. It was a good game. And I know Rattler's not playing bad. He's not playing terrible. He started off the season really bad. But my point is Chris Olave is a good route runner. And this card, this PSA 10 base rookie ticket auto for $70 in auction yesterday, that was a snipe. You see the same card in auction. The card that ended for $100 here, a different seller in auction yesterday as well. The only difference in these two cards is the fact that the auto is not graded. But a 10-10 should be even better. If you ask anybody in this chat right now, a 10 on the card and a 10 on the auto is better than just a 10 on the card and no grade on the auto. Am I right?
No, you're not. Yeah, just right. You're unbelievably correct.
So to see that dip like that for 70, maybe based on the reviews of the seller or the time he ended it, or the fact that he's got $10 shipping, it's located in China, which I know sketches some people out for sure, right? I mean, I'm definitely more concerned about my card coming from China than if it's located here in the United States. So that definitely plays a role. But you look at Garrett Wilson or Drake London's card on this, and you look at some of the other historical values in Slab Hawk for 2022 draft class. I mean, dude, you can easily see the value in that card, and that's just an indication of the kind of stuff you want to hunt for, you know.
Brock Purdy coming back this week, more than likely. I'm looking forward to that. I still think Olave can play. I will also say, Andy, you're not in the Saints' fear like I am. The fan base has kind of turned on Olave. He had a few critical 50-50 drops this past weekend versus the Patriots.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, and you know, it's always been a bit of a drama with him, going back with the Derek Carr situation. I don't want to get too deep into it. It could be a spot where the Saints are going to try to move him just for a fresh start for all parties involved. So I like that call.
There you go, man. That's the kind of stuff we want to look for, right? Because, right, I mean, you look at Olave's stats. This is a former first-round pick from 2022. And when it comes to wide receivers, he's 25 years old. He's 25 years old. This was like, you know, the Garrett Wilson twin. And so, I mean, you put him on a spot like the Giants right now, just the speculation alone is going to see his card value spike. You know, it's just like when Christian McCaffrey got traded from the Panthers to the 49ers. And Giants have this huge market and huge fan base. And right now they are on fire. They beat the Eagles. I mean, like, my mind was blown how good they looked last Thursday night. And you saw it in the values of Jackson Dart and Cam Scadabo. And the hobby's just begging for them to pick up one of these receivers because that card's going to blow up whoever they pick up.
So Jonathan's hearing different that Brock Purdy is more hurt than freaking Mac McCorkle Jones. That's not what my updates were telling me this morning. But once again, it could be wrong. So
well,
there you go.
Well, look, Mac Jones has played well, man. Yeah. I think there's a case to be made that if Brock Purdy was healthy, Mac Jones might be the better quarterback on this team right now. Did I leave you speechless?
McCorkle? You would play McCorkle over Brocktober?
Okay, well, sure. Brocktober's got a little bit more athleticism. He's got a little bit more of that sixth sense and you know, scramble ability, extend plays, complete the passes. But it just seems like so I'm looking at this, right? The four games that Mac Jones has played this year, 67.3% completion percentage. That's really close to his highest completion percentage for his entire career, going back to his rookie year when people thought he was going to be the next Tom Brady. You know, so then you look at Purdy, And I know we have a small sample size this year, but let's look at last year as well. The 15 games he played last year, he was at 65.9%. That's less than what Mac Jones has showed through four games this year. You look at this year, 65.8% on 73 pass attempts. So it's a small, but it's not that small, 65.8. So far, Mac Jones is, he's looking more accurate. He's looking a little bit more decisive, making some better decisions, especially when you go and then you look at the touchdown to interception ratios for Purdy. You really start to think, man, Shanahan might be leaning towards Mac Jones here, man.
Well, you will always have the rumors that that's who Shanahan always wanted. So it is very interesting. Something else that's interesting, I looked up Daniel Jones's cards earlier today. Speaking of Jones, who was an overdrafted former first-round pick who's magically playing well because he's in a better offensive system. That was a lot to say, but it is true here. Daniel Jones has been at a Pro Bowl level in the AFC. PSA 10 rookie ticket auto this morning, Andy, sold for $600 out the door. So My question for you, who is that next first-round quarterback that could be a buy low for some of our audience?
That's a great question. You know, who could it be? I mean, we've seen a little bit of resurgence here really lately, recency bias with Trevor Lawrence. You've seen it over the past couple of years with Baker Mayfield. Sam Darnold has been resurrected. Do we see a resurrection of Zach Wilson in the future?
No, I think that one's so far gone.
What about Trey Lance?
Maybe, obviously, he's with Harbaugh now. That's a good rehabilitation head coach.
Do we ever get a sighting of Hendon Hooker? I know the hobby has historically liked to place bets on backup quarterbacks, and Hendon Hooker is always a topic of conversation. He had decent draft capital. I think it was third round. It wasn't first round.
The guy that I keep going back to is Malik Willis. I keep going back to him. And look, Joel said it at the exact same time. I looked at the chat to see if someone had already said it. It's everything that you want in one of these. So he wasn't a first round quarterback, but many thought he should have been a first round quarterback. He goes to the third round, then goes to the Titans, which is a death trap, obviously, over the past decade. Then he's with LaFleur, where not only if you go buy his stuff right now, you could be in a spot where Malik Willis is stepping in for a hurt Jordan Love, which we saw last year, and he played well. Mm. And I always go look at Malik Willis's rookie autos, and I see a few here. Look, I'll share my screen here really quickly. I mean, this is just, man, that is very, 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 this is going to be my play of the week, so it's bad on my part as a host. Man, that's cheap right there, man. That is bottom of the barrel stuff. Now, there was corner damage as listed here, but what, $7 or $8 for a rookie Prism, obviously it's select, but Prism out of 199, and then you get insert auto here, $11. I mean, that's
what I like about it, Carter, is that he's a 2022 rookie, so he's young, so there's not a huge sample size, and you know, the time that he has played in Green Bay last season was really solid, like you said. So I think that alone, if he got a starting opportunity, would see an increase. And if it was an extended opportunity, you'd definitely see a lot more people jump on board. But if I'm like, okay, do I, you know, buy Sam Howell? Do I buy Davis Mills? Do I buy Kenny Pickett? You know, if you're torn between all these people, I would go Malik Willis. You know, if you're thinking about buying Gardner Minshew or Jared Stidham or, you know, Kirk Cousins or Trubisky, first round pick from 2017. I think I would rather have Malik Willis, honestly.
It's very interesting. Now that's a big sale right there, but I wouldn't pay up for that. But I keep going back because we have all these first round quarterbacks that are circling the wagons. And even though it's not a first round quarterback, I've grown on Malik Willis.
Well, I'll give you one more that you got. If you're the type of person that's like, I'm going to buy some Malik Willis, buy some Joe Milton at the same time. Buy some Joe Milton. This is a 2024 rookie who is currently the backup to Dak Prescott on the Dallas freaking Cowboys. You got to have some exposure. If you're the type of guy that's going to have some exposure to Malik Willis, you got to have some Joe Milton exposure, right, Carter?
Yes. The only problem with that, though, Andy, is that his stuff is kind of expensive. I wasn't ever really a big Joe Milton guy. He is a bit on the older side of things. He wasn't ever really dominant in college. The preseason tape is a little shakier. Mm. And yet we had the week 17, week 18 Bills game last year where he absolutely lit it up. But the Bills put Josh Allen in for a play and took him out to keep his consecutive start streak going. So, you know, I'm not as in on Joe as others, but I could be totally wrong. It's hard to be right about any of these QBs.
Well, look, when we saw him last year in a limited, I mean, his arm was insane. And never, I think a lot of people know he's got a powerful arm. He's got a cannon. And so I think that gets people excited alone. Because, I mean, you look at Jalen Hurts. What's the big thing that holds back his card values all the time? It's throwing mechanics, arm strength, blah, blah, blah. It just doesn't have a pretty ball like a lot of these guys have with bigger arms. Joe Milton's got that arm. And I think it's a lot about market size. And, you know, this is cheap, man. I know maybe some cards are more expensive, but if you can get a rookie ticket auto with a silver finish on it, serial numbered out of 99 for a quarterback, I mean, he's a second-year player for less than $40 here. That's pretty cheap. It's pretty cheap.
Mm.
So, I mean, you know, like, watch, like, see what this blue prism rookie ticket auto from Optic. So you got the Chrome stock here. It's currently $20.50, 13 bids. So like people are going to stash this card at a certain price point. And this ends this evening at 7:43. I imagine this card is probably going to end like around $50-$60. I mean, that price could easily triple in value. I mean, look at these latest salts. So if he got even just a 1 week start, that's the thing I'm worried about with Malik Willis. If it was Jordan Love missing a week and it's just a 1 week, I mean, if he had a big game, it would spike a little bit. But I think just on news alone of a more of a rookie prospect like Joe Milton, it would, you know, in the market for the Cowboys, it would go up a lot more.
I want to talk about another QB, Andy, and I want to do a little bit of trivia for you. There is another 2018 NFL quarterback that has slightly more passing yards than Baker Mayfield. Do you know who it is?
2018. So I'm guessing it's going to be Sam Darnold.
Look at you. I thought you were going to say Josh Allen. I thought for sure you were going to say Josh Allen.
Well, no, I don't. Yeah, no, I would definitely go Sam Darnold. The Seahawks have been throwing the ball a lot. Sam Darnold has been playing really well with Jackson Smith, Njigba. I mean, it really doesn't matter what defense they're playing. I mean, you look at we just talked about Mac Jones' completion percentage. Right now, Sam Darnold's sitting at 70.8% as the QB18 in a fantasy points per game basis. But listen to some of these metrics right now on Sam Darnold from Player Profiler. He's number three in total passing yards, 1,541. Number five amongst quarterbacks in touchdowns with 11. He's top 10 in deep ball attempts. He's number one in yards per attempt. Number one in air yards per attempt. So this is like even not completed passes. And if you look at his EPA, he's number five. So this guy is like, I mean, his true passer rating when you factor out unpressured throwaways and drop passes is number three overall right now amongst all quarterbacks with a 121.1. And Jackson Smith is, I mean, he's just getting open. He's getting open. It doesn't matter who's covering him. And one last stat here, Carter. Deep ball completion percentage. Love this one. These are throws of more than 20 yards. Sam Darnold's sitting at 62.5%. That's number two overall amongst quarterbacks. Yeah, dude.
This would, and the reason why I wanted to bring him up here, I was going to bring him up versus the Baker thing. I do think you need to consider moving these types now, especially if you bought in very low or if you just got lucky and you had some things just laying around and you forgot about it. I understand holding that bag for as long as you can and maybe you get a playoff hype cycle and all of it, but I will tell you, in particular with Sam Darnold, Andy, when the playoffs come around, everyone's going to think he's going to turn into a corn cob. So you need to be mindful of that. This could be the time that you move those Sam Darnold cards with the way that he's playing right now. Because you do have to ask yourself, is this the ceiling of Sam Darnold's ability? And I would say it's probably there. But then again, the ceiling is really high. He's been arguably just as good as Baker Mayfield. I would push back just a little bit on that. But still, Sam Darnold, pretty ridiculous season up to this point.
Yeah, very much so. And you see his cards have gone up. They just have not gone up to the extent of Baker Mayfield. And obviously, you know, we're just talking about that based on risk that PSA 9 or BGS 9 was sitting at Baker for 40. You could see PSA 10 based on risk for Sam Darnold sitting at 30. So if we bring Baker Mayfield in here and look at the comparison of their PSA 10 markets, all of a sudden you bump the two top, you know, these just most common liquid cards here, highly transacted, base optic, based on risk, PSA 10. Look at that, man. The PSA 10 on the base donors for Baker Mayfield up 106%, $122 compared to the $30 for Sam Darnold. So, and like if you look at the upcoming schedule, Darnold's got a difficult schedule. And the division is open, right? I mean, he's competing against the 49ers, the Rams. This is a tough division, man. The Cardinals are mid. They're meh. But, I mean, they can compete. Like, the Cardinals are one of those teams that any given Sunday, they're going to surprise you and win some games here and there. But you look at the upcoming schedule here for the Seahawks. On the Seahawks side, Texans, I mean, that could go either way. The Texans have been playing better lately. At Commanders, I mean, that's a tough game. Cardinals, at the Rams, at the Titans is the easiest game out of this stretch, but then they get the Vikings at the Falcons and then the Colts, the Rams. So this is a gauntlet here that the Seahawks are going to have to go through, and they could miss out on the playoffs. You know, there's plenty of opportunities for Sam Darnold to turn back into a corn cob. Whereas you look at the NFC South, the confidence Baker Mayfield has right now, even with all the injuries to the wide receivers. I mean, what happens if JSN goes down? You know, I, you know, then it's like Sam, I think Sam Darnold, his production does go down as well. Whereas Baker Mayfield, he's throwing touchdowns to, doesn't matter who you put out there right now, it's getting in the end zone.
And your thoughts on JSN?
Oh, JSN's been fantastic. I mean, I'm excited to go look at his Matt Harmon reception perception route tree. I know he's winning on virtually every route. His cards have gone up a lot as well.
Yeah.
And his cards have gotten pretty expensive. And that's what's cool about the skill position category is that you could be playing for a bad team, but if you're dominating at the position and you're also dominating in that fantasy football world, well, your card values are going to go up. Your card values are going to go up. People are going to want to collect you for multiple reasons.
JSN's a real deal. Remember a few weeks ago we were talking about how Puka had 100 more yards than everyone else. Now JSN has basically 100 yards more than everyone else. He's at 699 96 receiving yards. Puka is second at 616. JSN this year has only had one game less than 96 yards. And the thing I like it from a football card perspective is he is explosive. Every game, Andy, he has had a 36-yard reception or longer, which is ridiculous. So is Clint Kubiak play-action system getting him open? Love to see it. Freaking love to see it.
Yeah, you really do, man. It's fun. It's fun because he was also the guy that was propped up to take all the vacated targets from DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. And I'm sure the organization could not be more proud of him because he has stepped up and lived up to everything that they drafted him for. Jackson Smith Njigba values what I'm seeing, even on his base graded market here, has gone up a decent amount. You look at his PSA 10 Silver Prism Rookie Auto. That's a nice card for people to have. It's like in that mid-tier category. You get that grade of PSA 10. I mean, now you're sitting on something that's really nice here. It's a really nice asset for JSN. And look at the growth in that card. We go back to summertime. Well, you're picking that up for 115 to 120. And now you're able to sell that for 300. I mean, October 8th transaction, 300. October 12th, a few days ago, 275. You know, so you are really happy if you bought JSN in the summer. You're really reaping the rewards. And he was a guy that going back to like May, April, Carter, when DK Metcalf signed with the – I mean, he was a guy that immediately went up in fantasy value. And that's why we talked during the offseason, watch the fantasy value market. Like, watch where these guys are drafted. If all of a sudden they go up two rounds in fantasy football during the summer, that's an indication that their card values could easily follow if they didn't follow immediately. JSN hadn't proven himself yet. Well, but the expectations were there. So you could have bought in at that low point there. And now he's met his expectations. That's why you've seen the values go up so much in his cards.
Hobby tip of the week. I'll go first, Andy. It's simple. If you're on the fence about moving your cards, move them. All right. The thing that used to get me when I would look at my PC, all right, that word gets thrown around all the time, PC. I do think PC is very overrated. If someone offered the absolute highest right price for whatever collectible you have in your collection, you would think about it at the very least, all right? I don't have as much money as a lot of people watching this right now. But unless you're a million, gajillion, bajillionaire, there's always stuff that you could move. There's always things that you look at and you're like, I don't love it as much anymore. I'm going to move it. Okay. So if you're ever on the fence about moving something, that's a sign to you that you probably don't love that item as much as you love that item. Am I right or am I wrong about this, Andy?
No, I would agree, generally speaking. Yeah.
Yeah. Move it. I've been, you know, watching a good bit of hobby content lately, a lot of IG stuff, people that I respect a whole heck of a lot. Move that ish. All right. if you don't like it, move it and then put that money into something else that you'll like and then you'll eventually want to move. It's perfectly fine. To be in that spot. It's just the thing that you struggle with when you want to move that card. It's just listing it. Takes no more than 5 minutes to list a card. Just list it. I struggle with that. I'm more so looking at myself. I'm looking at the man in the mirror, to quote the great Michael Jackson. So you just move it. All right, Andy, hobby tip of the week for you is what?
Yeah, you know, I've got a Luke McCaffrey rookie auto sitting up there, and I'm watching the Commanders game Monday night, and I'm thinking, why don't I have this card listed?
you didn't. You're Mr. Buy It Now. You're Mr.
Yeah, I know, but I just haven't. You know, but it's the same thing. Like when you sit down to list cards, like it's you know, it's one of those things. You just got to build the consistency and the habits around it. and do it more consistently. eBay rewards that as well. It's like a social media platform, but you just have to put in the work. And maybe like compartmentalizing it is the best thing to do. Like take your photos. So then when you do have some time, you can do like a couple per day or a couple, even a couple per week, and take like 15, 30 minutes and set up the drafts on your computer. So it's easier to set up a draft on your computer and then upload from your phone to the draft the photos and then publish it. You know, and now with eBay, you have to create a shipping rule. So like take the 15, 20 minutes to go on your computer, do it from your computer, set that up as well. And so it's easy for you to then to run it from your phone. Cause I mean, if you're like me, like most of us, the best time to do it is when you're like stuck somewhere or something and you have your phone and you can, you know, you can do something for like 15, 20 minutes on your phone. If you got those photos already on there, then boom, that's what makes a lot of sense to me.
Mm.
But that's not my hobby tip, Carter.
Ooh,
my hobby tip.
Okay, let's go.
Dude,
let's
this is, I'm more excited about this hobby tip than I've been excited about a hobby tip for a long time because, you know, slabhawk.com, I work closely with the developer of this app, and he has been working his tail off to pull in raw cards, Carter, from all active NFL players into this app. So we can do the same thing we do with the PSA market, with the BGS market, we can now do with raw cards. So guys, this is in beta testing, but this is revolutionary in the hobby. This is going to really help you out. You know, we put together tutorial videos on, I'm not going to spend the time to go through how you use it to compare these players to find the values. I'm going to do another video tomorrow on week 7 hidden gems, and we're going to use a little bit more, but now we have raw cards in here. And so right off the bat, you see it's highlighting these, the most liquid raw cards here. And it's all centered around second year quarterbacks. They have the highest supply in the market. These raw cards, everybody wants to get them if they only have a few dollars to spend and you want to get exposure to a Jaden Daniels or a Caleb Williams or a Bo Nix. And so it's awesome. But I do want to tell you, this is in beta testing right now. So what we're looking to do is there's a little report button under each one of these players' cards, right? So we're in the Prism Raw here for Jaden Daniels, and you can see selling $5, buy it now. Well, if that's not, like, if you find one that's not the Prism, like for example, now that's the Prism there. So we're looking for anomalies, like we're looking for cards that don't belong. Like this one's a CGC9. You click report it. That's going to send a memo to the app developer so he can go look at the code, and we can refine it.
Okay. I don't think people understand how hard it is to do this raw.
Oh, it's insane. I mean, the back end servers and coding that goes into this is a lot of work, and it's taken a lot of time to get it to this point. And it's only going to continue to grow and continue to be refined as we get feedback from the community. So that's why it's so important for you guys to get in this and, you know, look at it, find the bugs, find the flaws, and then, you know, report that either through the app or send myself messages or send messages in our Discord, and we'll continue to refine it. But this is going to allow us to do so much more because there's so much raw card activity on skill position players. I still believe very firmly today, Carter, that the sweet spot in the hobby is on rookie autos, serial number cards, and cards with those kind of assets, license cards in those, that category for skill position players, much like fantasy football, that you can buy and sell. So you buy them when they're low, and then you sell them when they're at a high point or hyped up point. And I still believe strongly in that. And I see it, you know, see it week in and week out. We highlight it. And yeah, so you withdraw cards. That's where you're going to find a lot of for these skill position players.
Slabhawk.com. Slabhawk.com. I'm a proud member of the Slabhawkians. The funny thing is, I don't know who your partner is in Slabhawk for some reason, I think it's you.
He shall remain anonymous. Just know he's like the Wizard of Oz.
I'm gonna track him down. No, I think I might know who it is, but either way, slabhawk.com, check it out. We say a happy Thursday to Terry. We say hi to Joel. Jim, I always want to let people know in the chat that you are welcome. We're not the biggest channel in the world, but we just love doing it for the love of the game. Family Burliner, Jonathan, love to see all you guys. Donut. McLaughlin, yeah, we touched on this last week. It was one of my hobby tips. The Bo Nix schedule is about to get really soft. So could we see a huge Bo Nix spike, even though statistically it's been a tough season so far for the second-year QB?
He's had a lot of tough matchups, man. I'm really interested to see, though, what his schedule looks like, because honestly, this team is sitting at 4-2. But they could have easily won some of those matchups, and they were very close. So, yeah, like you look at the matchup that they lost at the Saints. I mean, that was a close game. Or no, that was the Giants. Sorry, I'm looking at this wrong way. Okay, yeah. So they won the last three. Bengals, Eagles, Jets. Big win in there at the Eagles. And close game. I mean, look at all their games. One-score game against all these opponents except for the Bengals. They blew them out. But one-score game against the Colts and the Chargers, and now they got the Giants, which is not that easy of a team anymore. This could turn into a shootout game this weekend, 4-5 against the Giants, but it's at home, and the Denver Broncos defense could give some fits here to Jackson Dart, and they're on the hunt for a wide receiver. They need the help. And then they got the Dallas Cowboys, another shootout potential game at Texans, Raiders, the Chiefs at home, at Commanders, at Raiders again, Packers at home, Jaguars at home. So this is not an easy schedule for the Denver Broncos, from what I'm seeing, Carter.
I mean, you know I'm sky high on Denver. Sky high. Told you to buy low when they started off crappy, and crappy subjective, but they had the field goal kerfuffle in week two. And then the week three game was the Bo Nix special. But since then, they have been playing some really good football, but just not offensively. I do think they get on the right track over the next couple of weeks. And we do it. We don't have any like fancy smanchy graphics. Is there any team that you're starting to sell in terms of just overall success? And are there any teams for you that you're starting to buy?
Well, it's more players for me that I'm starting to buy. For example, the Rams should be involved in a lot of shootouts. If Puka's going to miss extended time here due to injury, I'll have to see what the latest is on him. I don't know if he practiced this week. If he was a DN, there was so many DNPs yesterday.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people out, like Marvin Harrison Jr. concussion. Calvin Ridley, hamstring, not practicing. You know, Amika Ibuka, not practicing. Debo Samuel does not practice. Terry McLaurin still hurt. You know, there's so many guys that are banged up right now that could potentially miss this week. And I think Puka has an ankle. I mean, I saw when he went down, and that was an immediate sign that look into Davante Adams' cards, because Davante Adams, yeah, Nacua, this is from yesterday right here, Roto World Football. His ankle's a long shot for week 7. And I would imagine that they let him sit. So, yeah, I mean, I think I would be looking to buy Davante Adams there to pivot, because, you know, they're throwing the ball a lot. They're playing really well. And they're going to continue to be competitive in games and turn into shootouts. And Davante Adams could put up a ton of production and definitely go up in value. I'd also be interested to buy some of these Ravens players very cheap.
Yeah.
You know, for a late season resurgence, just at least in production. It's just hard because they spread the ball around so much there. Yeah, it's tough for me to get on board with some of these Ravens guys. I don't know. I'm kind of, I'd be more inclined to buy like Garrett Wilson right now, and he's a DNP. And but with the Jets 0-6, I mean, that's easy to see his cards dipping here into the end of November. So I'm looking at a lot of situations like that and building a list and saving up money for the midseason dip, which is coming up, guys. It's going to be here within a month and a half. And you think it might be starting to soften up now? Just wait another month and a half. It's going to get really soft. And guys like Garrett Wilson, you may be able to snipe a rookie ticket auto for $15-$20. I mean, I've done that before. I've done that in the past, you know, many times. AJ Brown's, I think, was probably my best midseason dip snipe. I think I bought a rookie ticket auto of his for like $6 once on a midseason dip.
Play of the week. I'm going to go in and give you one right now. And they've already given mine out for Malik Willis a little bit earlier. How about Jordan Whittington now that Puka Nacua is out? I've always liked Jordan Whittington. I will tell you this. I've gotten to know a few people with the NFL film study stuff from, you know, the Rams universe. Matthew Stafford loves him. Some Jordan Whittington. He's a receiver out of Texas. He's not a burner. Tutu Atwell is a burner. I don't think Tutu's job changes a whole heck of a lot with Puka out. I do think Whittington is more of the Puka replacement with his size, blocking ability, and all of that. And I like some of this Jordan Whittington product that's out. Not a whole lot of Ram stuff, but we do have contenders rookie ticket autos that you can go buy for relatively decent prices. Him in the Rams uniform for $12-$15, some Panini Donruss rookie autos in auction right now for a few cents as well. So, yeah, count me in for Jordan Whittington.
Interesting. Okay.
I like the deep cuts. You know, I like that. I will forever believe that the Paris Campbell breakout is upon us. So, Paris, I'll never, if Paris Campbell has one fan, it is me.
Well, right,
play of the week, let's get it.
This is an interesting one. I was just talking about the Ravens, and the Packers are another team where it's like, man, I sit here scratching my head like, I would love to buy these wide receivers. Which one do you buy? You know, do you go, and Jaden Reed's probably the most reliable one of them all, but he's shown to have a higher fragility rating. And I think injury concerns are a little bit higher for him. But I mean, like, I like Christian Watson because of a deep ball ability and the fact that Jordan Love likes to throw the ball deep and push the ball. And they've got this schedule that's going to draw that out of him. And he's coming back. You got guys coming back right now. Christian Watson's really interesting to me. And it's one of those, it's a gamble, right? But his cards have gotten probably the cheapest they've been his entire career because he is an early second round talent and he does have a super high height adjusted speed score. He's tall, he's super fast, and he could put up a ton of touchdowns quick. So he has that like game slate breaking ability. And the Packers with Jordan Love have that ability to put the pressure on. And so, yeah, that's an interesting play. I mean, if you could pick the right guy there and maybe you attack Jaden Reed in an injury dip. That's an interesting play. I would also look at Mike Evans right now. Mike Evans feels like a buy to me. I know his prices haven't dipped that much, but it's harder to find 2014 stuff and people list more cards during the season right now. And so if you can find Mike Evans rookie ticket autos for under $100, I mean, that's still a good buy because you're going to have the rest of this season. He's going to come into form in the playoffs. Mike Evans is going to have this huge game with Baker Mayfield, and then he's going to keep playing. And you don't know when he's going to retire, but when he does, he's going to the Hall of Fame. So it's like then you've got still multiple outs, multiple opportunities to flip him for a high. And if you're like me, you also collect them. You know, yeah. Worst thing is you put them on the wall.
Look at you giving up. It's like, yeah, my play is Jaden Daniels. That's always going to be my play. But, you're like, yeah, let me just give my favorite player out where if it blows back on me. No, I'm just kidding. I've given out plenty of LSU players.
But the first one I gave out was a total gamble. A total gamble in the Packers wide receiver room. It's tough, man. It's tough because you want to get out. I think Christian Watson right now is my favorite buy in that room, and I see some value there just because of the ambiguity. And like Josh Jacobs is racking up a ton of production right now too, and you know a lot of hype is on Jordan Love and Tucker Kraft too. So, yeah, if you can find the right starter there, I mean, look at what happened with the Chargers, Carter. Quentin Johnson goes down, Ladd McConkey blows up. He has his highest prices of the season this week with Quentin Johnson down. But Quentin Johnson's coming back. So I think you need to sell Ladd McConkey on this wave that was created this past week. And you could potentially look at buying Quentin Johnson on a little dip because ultimately he's the guy that's going to get the most targets in that offense, I think. And I think that's Jaden Reed for the Packers. So if you see the dip, like you stalk those auctions, obviously. I mean, that's the best spot to buy these guys. And that's the way to go. Another thing I would say, Carter, real quick, is I would be looking for second-year players, second-year skill position players. And this is why. Right now, there's a lot of supply for them. You just had National Treasures release. You just had Flawless release. Some of the best sets in the hobby for the entire year just released for the draft class last year. I know it's a long time from when those guys were drafted, but this is only their second year. So a lot of those running backs and those wide receivers haven't gotten the opportunity. Like I mentioned, Blake Corum, and now he's a little banged up or whatever, and he's just not getting the volume because Kyron's still playing so good. But he's just an example of an archetype of player from last year is in their second year that you can get cards that were just released in sets that people are pulling out of breaks. They're pulling it out of hobby boxes right now. And what do? They just send it to auction, man. They got to move that inventory. And when they do that, those cards are going to go very, very undervalued compared to what you can potentially get for them in the future. If you were to properly stash it and catalog it and wait for the hype spike, and then sell it.
J.J. McCarthy, 2024 National Treasures. One of his one-of-ones have already sold. Let's see. I'm going to send this to you, Andy, to get the I'll send it to you in the private chat here.
Okay.
I want to know what that price was on that. I don't have my 130 point pulled up.
Yeah, all right.
Because it was listed at 35K and it sold. I would guess that this sold at like 20K. But JJ McCarthy, vertical patch autos from Treasures are consistently going for over 2K. Consistently. For vertical patches.
For vertical patches.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is horizontal, but it's a one of one and it's got, you know, part of that Vikings team name in the patch, which is pretty cool. If I was a collector, I definitely would like this card. It's on card auto too, which is a nice bonus. All right. Yeah. The results, Carter, pretty good, man. Not too much of a discount.
$29,750. $29,000.
Different sandbox
for JJ McCarthy.
Yep. Let's in comparison, let's look at something here real quick. How much do you think Brock Bowers' market has dipped? I mean, honestly, because if Brock Bowers had dipped enough. If Brock Bowers has dipped enough, then he's a clear buy right now.
Oh, yeah.
He's a perfect archetype.
Easily.
So the PSA 10 market definitely dipped. Let's just look at the silver. He got 469 of those, 28% rate. So this is a good card to look at here. Let's look at the 6 months. So before the season, about 187. About 200. I mean, honestly, when you see $200 buy it now, that's what I'm looking for. And you get closer to season, $200 buy it now. Season starts, you got a 202.50. So, okay, there's your – that's the norm for him, then 202.50. And right now we're sitting at 116.02 in auction this past Thursday. I mean, that's almost a 50% dip, Carter. That's a buy point for him. That's a chalky card. Now, do you got to ask yourself, do they get lower over the next month? I think they probably do, man.
Probably. And
he's going to have some serious, huge games. I just don't see it happening with how bad Geno Smith is playing and just how terrible the offensive line is. It's a very dysfunctional offense right now. And I don't think that with Brock Bowers, it's like, why push him whenever they've got a lot of depth at the tight end position on that team? Got Michael Mayer and other guys that I've saw make plays this past week. And I'm like, who's that guy? He's another tight end for the Raiders. But then you go look at something like his downtown. Downtown's held steady here. PSA 10, there's 351 of those.
Well,
that auction's a little that auction
yeah,
right here
wonky.
Yeah, it's a little wonky there. But I mean, just look at the average. I mean, so what you had a September 16 dip on an auction. This is legit. 23 bids, 790, whereas previously it was selling for 900. It's not a very big dip, but that's because the case hit. Well, it's not a true case hit anymore. Population of 351. I don't think that's a case hit anymore. I mean, look at the total database for his PSA graded downtown. You're telling me it's a case hit, and there was there was roughly 1,500 cases of Donruss that they made last year. What? No, dude, that's not a case hit anymore. It's a little bit more than a case hit.
Jonathan asked the question that I have to ask myself as well. The better long-term play between Brock Bowers and Mr. Warren of the Indianapolis Colts?
Bowers. I mean, look, Warren could be in the future a good buy. You can't buy him right now because you're going to cost you an arm and a leg because the supply is so low. You better be ready to put him up on the wall and just have a lot of collection value in there because it's going to cost you an arm and a leg to get a good Tyler Warren card right now. And there's very little upside in that buying it at that price point because new sets are going to continue to come out. Mosaic just came out, Carter. I don't know if you've seen any of the new Mosaic yet, but Mosaic just dropped. So it's like as those new sets come out, then the older ones start losing value. And you're like, wait, but Tyler Warren's still a tight end one. It doesn't matter. The card market is going to shift based on the supply of the cards, and the supply of the cards is just going to continue to go up for Tyler Warren for the next 12 months, you know? And so until we get out of this period, I can't really buy Tyler Warren. But I can right now. Brock Bowers is a great buy, and he's probably going to dip more, and he's going to have equally the same career, if not maybe. I mean, it could be better, right? We don't know what the Raiders are going to do this next offseason that could really impact Bowers in a positive way. That's the hope anyways.
I do like Jonathan's point about there being Panini autos of Tyler Warren. That is something I do like.
I got to check it out now. Yeah, I do like that. You know, that's the one thing that sucks. Like I can't stand that we don't have a clear there's no clear direction on the licensing, and you got a lot of goofy cards that are autoed but not licensed, and they try and make them look pro, but they're decent, and that's kind of what you have to buy because you have to. That's it, you know. But I would love it if this is both the major companies were licensed and we don't have to deal with this crap.
Yeah, and then we have Michael Penix. His autos are also in Treasures too, so I wanted to include that. And this stuff is very expensive, which is expected. So there you go.
Mosaic sharp this year, man. Let's look at some of these real quick. I want to look at the most expensive mosaics here from football that have sold over. And we have 2025 Mosaic. There's 4,000 active listings. So real quick, you notice that there's 4,000 active listings for 2025 Mosaic. But let's go 2025 Donruss, a set that's been out for a few weeks, and look at how many active listings for football. 107,000. So that's the storm that's coming for Mosaic as well. So just keep that in mind when you're looking at the Mosaic compared to other stuff. And this is the first like really good pro uniform chrome stock set.
And you do have Ladd McConkey and Treasures too. I wanted to make sure I had that right. That you do, but and yeah.
Some good stained glass, man. Stained glass, 2,000 for Jackson Dart. He's getting all the top prices. And stained glass is a case hit that's been around for years. You can go back and find stained glass hits from 2016. I think you might be able to find it from 2015. Maybe some guys in the chat would know, but it goes back to at least 2016, I know. So that's like, it's a well-known case hit, whereas the micro mosaic case hit, this only goes back like 2 years, you know, maybe 2021 was the first year. So maybe we're on the fourth year of it, but still not nearly as established as the stained glass. So that's why you see it going for a little bit less here.
Yeah. Well, I do want to bring up Ashton Jeanty. Oh, there you go. Micro Mosaic Jeanty going for 800. How about that?
Dang. Now, see, this is a card I want, Carter, right here for Ibuka. I want this one. I like this card, even though I like this. His portrait, you don't see, I think you actually do see part of a number 2 there on his jersey.
It could be a 9 as well.
It could be, but the fact that it's not shown is
yeah, good. You'll take it.
Great. I like this. Like, this is a card I would like to have, man. If I was going to chase like a big Ibuka card, this one is pretty good.
How about that? Well, all right, y'all. This was a fun episode. Once again, Andy in his personal life absolutely positively crushed a work presentation. So more important than anything that we discuss, shout out to you, Mr. Andy Kaysen. Well, how many people was it? How many people were in the room?
Oh, man. Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, no, it was really good. I don't know, somewhere between 20 and 25.
There you go. And these were some high muckety mucks, huh?
Oh, yeah, it was a good time.
Good. And what were you, did you have to like dress nice? Did you have to wear like a coat and tie and stuff?
Yeah, no, not a tie. It's, you know, business casual, but yeah, definitely, you know, want to, dress sharp. So
good, yeah. Man. Yeah. That's it. Look at that. Y'all throw some clap emojis in the chat.
Yeah. Yeah,
dude, you kick ass, bro. I like that. Don't forget Tuesday. We'll be joined by, the great Mojo Sports Cards. Really excited, to have him on. I've gotten to know him from the National and from the Super Bowl, ironically. And for Steven, Jonathan, everybody else in the chat, V-Bros, we'll see you on Tuesday. Peace out.
Peace out. Thanks, guys.